Ruth 2, 1 through 10. So now there was a wealthy, influential man in Bethlehem named Boaz, who was a relative of Naomi's husband. One day, Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go out into the harvest fields to pick up the stalks of grain left behind." "The Lord be with you," he said. "The Lord bless you," the harvester replied. Then Boaz asked his foreman, "Who is that young woman over there? Who does she belong to?" And the foreman replied, "She is the young woman from Moab who came back with Naomi. She asked me this morning if she could gather the grain behind the harvesters. So she has been hard at work ever since, except for a few minutes rest in the shelter." Boaz went over to said to Ruth, "Listen, my daughter, stay right behind their harvesting and then follow them. And when you are thirsty, help yourself to the water they have drawn from the well." Ruth fell at his feet and thanked him warmly. "What have I done to deserve such kindness?" she asked. "I am only a foreigner." The word of God for the people of God.
Ruth, just a love story. I've read through it many times. And Sarah went through. She's the one who prepared it. And she pulled four main points from it. First of all, to follow fully, trust fully, love fully. And the thing about it is I think all of those, it's so simple, so pure, if you want to say, to pull those things out of here that really, if we were to do those things, maybe and then add the gospel message to it, but that'd be it. We could just go on. That would be all we'd need. So I'm really excited about sharing this. Now, part of that, too, I'll just let you know, this is, if you're looking for some deep exposition of Ruth from me, from chapter 2, I'm just sticking with a basic message, because I think most of us are in a position where maybe we haven't trusted fully in every way of our lives. So it's really going to be some just basic meat. And so if you came here to learn the deepest seminarian type, you know, whatever, you know, that's not what's happening today. First of all, talking about trusting fully, something I used to do, most of you know, I had a moving company. I went and also delivered appliances. So Kelly knows, he was there with us, he helped me. But most of the appliances, if I still had the straps, I would have do it. But and most of the stuff we'd move, we'd actually move attached to each other. So imagine a big refrigerator, and we had a strap. I prefer, there's other kinds, but a shoulder strap. You have a strap around your shoulder, it goes under the appliance, the other person has the same thing. And so I'm on this side, and the other guy's on the other side. So there's a difference between following and trusting. So when we'd start off with the, you get a new guy, is they'd follow you, but you'd get to steps, and you'd come, and you'd be going backwards, and you'd come to the steps, and you'd feel this, they'd feel this hesitation, and you almost had to drag them along, and you had to say, no, no, come on, or you know, you want to turn right, and they'd fight you, but they'd still follow, you'd drag them along, and they're following you, they almost have no choice, but there was a difference between that, and when you started working with someone every day, and literally we could go grab an appliance, and I'm not joking, go grab an appliance, okay? Vaughn was on the other side, and I would literally take off running like this and come and fly upstairs like that without ever saying a word to the other person. They could feel, as I turned them, they had full trust in where I was sending them. They felt me going down somewhere, they had full trust that I was not falling off an edge and falling off a porch or something. You ended up having a full trust in somebody. And so there's a difference between following and begrudgingly following. And here, even in Ruth, we see Naomi is a little bit bitter, and we have Ruth, who's just more willing. So there, we can follow, but sometimes we have a trust that isn't there. Even though we're following, we're sort of moving on and following. It's crazy. Now, I just have to make a little side note. If you go like, why would you run with appliances? Well, we got paid by the piece. We got paid by the piece. So, yeah, if we could get there done quicker and do it safely, yeah, we would. We got paid by the piece. So that's why we would go and just run with appliances into people's houses upstairs. again, slow down if we're going to hit something. But just in case you're wondering about that. There's other places where we might follow but not trust. What about at work? You probably follow all types of work policies, even if you don't trust that they even do you any good. But they want it done this way, so I'm going to do it. So we may not trust that they're actually at point. They may think they're pointless, but we still follow them. But trusting in our company is a whole different thing. So doctors, I can tell you a lot of people, they follow doctors' orders, even though they think, this may not be even worth it. I don't know if this is doing any good. I'm eating this kale. I don't know if it's doing any good. I don't trust that my doctor's eating this kale thing, but he says I should eat it. We may not trust. Again, we can follow, like Sarah talked about last week, but trusting brings a whole nother element to to our following and what it means. And again, I'm not at all trying to go political, but I just want to draw it into something that every one of us has seen in the last however long, year and a half, whatever. How many people, whether this is you or not, but you know these people, they followed government mandates, but they didn't necessarily trust that any of those were doing any good, right? And it's, again, not a comment on which way we go run with it, but the thing is there's a difference between following and trusting. So I just want to clarify that. And we see that Ruth was actually trusting fully as she went into a new land. So my question for you, are you fully trusting in God? Are you fully trusting in God? Has God been trying to get you to step out in faith in some way, and you've been fighting it, or maybe not sure? Like, okay, God, I think you're saying this, but you know, if I go do this, I just don't know that everything is going to get taken care of. So have you been hesitant to put your full trust in God in every part of your life? And I'd like to ask you to contemplate why. Again, you have really the rest of your life to do that. But I just challenge you today, as we're going through this message, that you just ask yourself, why am I hesitant? And let's deal with it. We'll have time at the end when we have communion. You come up, you could deal with it. If you want to just get down on your knees right now, and I'm not trying to be funny, but if you want to get down on your knees, repent and say, God, I haven't followed you, and I just go ahead and do it now. I don't care when you do it. What I care about is that we all fully trust in God and do what God has called us to do. That's what I care about. Whether you do that here or at home or in a week, that's my heart. I want to see that you guys put your full trust in God in every part of your lives. So let's look at Ruth. Here we have Ruth. Ruth goes and she basically loses everything. She loses basically everything that you take of value. She lost her husband. She had to move away from her homeland, all of her family, everything. Everything that was important to that culture, Ruth had to move away from. But what does she do? She decides to follow fully, which is what Sarah talked about. Sarah mentioned this scripture. The most famous one out of Ruth is, wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Just an amazing thing about following. But again, like I said, you can follow without trust. Now, I would say that there was trust in that statement, but you can follow without having a full trust. Of course, you have to have some trust. You're not just going to follow somebody you don't trust at all, but you have to have some trust. But was it a full trust? We can see that Ruth moved forward with that. So what is it that Ruth did that was different than just following? What can we see that she did that was trust, putting her full trust, her full faith in God and what God had for her life and God's provision? So there's one thing, I think one indicator that I really want, and there's others. Again, we could talk a lot about this, but I want to talk to you today about one specific one. Is what did Ruth do that was different? She went out and found work. She went out and found work. She went and did something. She didn't just sit around and say, God, I'm putting my trust in you. Okay, God, I'm going to follow you. And hopefully you do things. And, you know, I'm going to sit at home and wait for you to, let's just put it in common in today's context. I'm going to sit at home, Lord. Lord, I trust that you want to use me to bring witness to other people. Lord, I'm sitting at home. Let them come knock on my door. Right? Let them come knock on my door. Or I'll talk about Jesus if they ask me about it. Or I'll help the poor as long as this, and this. We could go on and on. But the difference between just the following and the trusting is one of the key differences is there's going to be action behind it. We're going to be stepping out, not just sitting back waiting for whoever or whatever we're following to do. If we have true faith and trust in God that he's going to provide, we're going to do something. So here in Ruth, chapter 2, starting with verse 2, it says, one day Ruth, the Moabite, said to Naomi, let me go into the harvest field to pick up the stalks of grain left behind by anyone who is kind enough to let me do it. Naomi replied, all right, my daughter, go ahead. So Ruth went out to gather grain behind the harvesters, and as it happened, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, the relative of her father-in-law, Elimelech. So we see here she trusted. We saw a pretty bold statement of faith, I mean, to follow, and this is going to be that. But then when she got there, she went and trusted that there was going to be provision. And the thing is we don't know, it's hard to just read through if you don't understand some context, that everything was against her. Everything was against her. She was a widow. She was a foreigner. She was poor. And even though we see that there's we can look in the Bible and we see that, it says to let the poor come and take all the extras, but we can look through history and find out that the Jewish people almost never did that. So the fact that this was going on, you go, that's the way it was supposed to work. Well, it's not the way it normally worked. They didn't. Farmers be like, why am I going to leave that there? I can still make money off of it. So we don't see in history that this is actually happening. But we have this guy Boaz who looked out and saw her doing that and was like, okay, go ahead, let her do that. She went out and found work, even though it was unlikely. She could have had a woe is me attitude. She could have. And by the way, life can be hard sometimes. It can be extremely hard. And so I understand that it can be sometimes tough to move forward when bad things happen. It can. And I don't want to just say like, flippantly, put your trust in God and your life's going to be better automatically. But she did not sit around with the woe is me attitude. My life sucks. Everything's against me. I'm probably never going to have anything in life again. I can't get a job because of this. And I'm probably never going to have another husband or anything. She went out in life and engaged life. So God, one of the things here, so here we have Ruth, who's just sort of an ordinary person, actually culturally probably less than ordinary. She was just culturally would have been, she wasn't an Israelite. She was poor, a widow, just not someone high on the level of things. But the thing is we will see that God works mightily, does a mighty work through her. And the thing is, I just want to say this is true for all of you, that God will do work through ordinary people. And by the way, who here thinks they're ordinary? More than ordinary? Let's just see. Oh, Joe, were you starting to raise your hand back there? No. And actually, I'm not going to have you raise your hands. There's probably some of you. I'll just be honest. I know that there has to be someone in this room who probably feels less than ordinary. But I'm going to tell you that God works mightily through ordinary people. God can be great if you let him. In fact, here at this church, so what's our statement? It's right there. Love, grow, go. Love, grow, go. This is all about God being able to use you in great ways. If we learn to love God and love others, grow with God and grow in relationship with others, and then what I'm talking about here is to go and actually do the things that God has called us to do, that's put our trust in him and say that, yes, even though I don't know how to talk to somebody, I'm going to do it. Even though I don't have money, I'm going to help out this person who needs money because I feel that God is calling me to do it and to put full trust in God no matter what. To fully trust in God means that we are going to have to take action. It's going to mean that we're going to have to go. We're going to have to go and do stuff. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. There's a common thing. I'm not going to tell the whole thing, but because probably all of you have heard it. But the story about the guy that's the flood, there's a boat comes by. He says, no, I trust in God. Another boat comes by. Oh, I'm going to trust in God. Finally, a helicopter comes by, and he says, oh, I'm going to trust in God to save me. Anyway, he dies, goes to heaven, asks God, well, why didn't you save me? He sent you two boats and a helicopter, right? But when I became a Christian, I met this imperfect person. His name was Lee Seiprit. And thanks to the Googles, now I know that he passed away a few years ago. Brand new Christian, and not a perfect person, but I'll tell you what, he had this trust thing down. So I shared one story just a few weeks ago when I preached. I won't retell it, but about the coin purse. This is the same guy. He just went out and trusted what God had told him, and he went out. But I know we moved to a town, and we didn't have a job. God will give us a job. Don't worry. Well, he didn't just sit at home and do that. Guess what? We're out, and we just stop, and we're looking at. I probably should have put these in different order because chronological may help. But we're looking for a job, and he says, "Oh, God's going to do it. Don't worry." And it's like he even told me, "Let's look through the papers. Let's see if God will do something first." Anyway, first place we go to, we just go up to the store, and I said, an imperfect person. We went up there, he bought some beer. So he walks in there and he just says, You guys looking for any work? And they go, oh no, we're good. We don't need anyone. Anyway, 3 days later we both had a job there. He just trusted in God enough to just go anywhere he went. He just trusted that God was going to provide for him. And he was more than willing to look at paper, but he went and took the action to say that, not just like God miraculously provided me a job, he actually went and tried to seek it out. Not force it, but tried to seek it out. We needed a car. The car broke down. And anyone knows engines, it was the 318. Once they went to electronics, they became horrible engines. Before that, it was a great engine. Anyway, I needed a car, and we had no money. No money for a car. So what does he do? He just says, God will provide it. And we just start walking around, and he starts seeing cars. He go knock on people's doors. Is that car for sale? Some would say no. Some say yes. And they say, well, how much money do you have? He says, I don't have anything, but I need a car. So I'm just trying to see, And he going out there doing that. And finally, we knock on someone's door. And they have this car, this van, and they say, oh, well, it hasn't run. I think it still runs. It's been sitting for 3 years. And he said, well, okay, well, how much are you willing to get? He said, well, I don't have any money. Now, this people had like 4 acres, and this is in the Carolinas. Lots of fall comes, lots of trees fall. They say, hey, you know what? If you rake our yard, we'll let you have the car for free. We went out there, spent 4 hours raking the yard, and we had a car. This guy, he trusted. He had an amazing trust in God that he would provide. He had, again, this is why I said should have done it in the opposite order, but when we went there, that was Spartanburg, South Carolina, no money to move into a place either. And what did he do? He just started looking at, he grabbed paper, went, no, there's for rent. We went to, and like, what are you going to do? He said, God will give us a place, don't worry. I'm like, well, we don't have any money. We don't have jobs, we don't have anything. Anyway, he goes and we start, he just, you know, prays and just starts looking through and he goes, oh, I think we'll go here. First place we go in and I'm just like shaking my head like, oh, this is almost embarrassing. Because the guy's like, yeah, and looks, we take a tour through this. It was a mobile home, but, you know, 3 bedrooms. We take a tour through it. And what does he do? The guy says, well, yeah, are you, the owner says, are you interested? He says, well, I am, but I don't have any money. Well, I don't even remember the details on that. All I know is 2 hours later, we were moving the stuff in. And I just, you know, guess what? He took action. And I know I'm spending a lot on this one guy, but I think this just speaks to having trust in God in our lives. Is one of the best things, and I've shared this. This is one of my go-to stories, so I just have to tell it again. And is that we ran out of food. We ran out of food. And we, last thing I remember, the only thing left, I mean, maybe we had some flour, but we mixed peanut butter and jelly together and we ate it. And then we were coming together and we already had a plan that this is a chance at the time where actually we're just going to be going and doing stuff. But anyway, he just says, hey, we get together. He says, well, okay, let's pray. We're going to go out. We just finished the last food. Let's just pray. We need to go out there and find food or find money. And we sit and he says, Lord, I just come to you in Jesus' name. Here, knock at the door. And here's a lady with a whole station wagon, the old school ones, with the fake wood paneling on the side, filled with food. She just says, I don't know why. I left my office. It's locked. I came in. It was Monday morning. I came in, and there was a note on my desk saying that there was a family that needed food here. He says, no one else has a key to my office, so I don't know how it happened. So just putting our trust in God. And this guy, Lee Cyprit, really showed me that early on in my Christian walk. But what I like about sharing about him is back to what I said. God, he was imperfect. And I'm not going to, no use, you know, especially now we're online, no use telling you all of his problems. He was an imperfect person. But God used him. God used him to minister to others. He used him to teach me about having trust in God. He was imperfect, but he still stepped into what God was calling him to do. So no matter where you are today, God can use you, and he wants you to put your trust in him. No matter what's stopping you, if it's fear, if it's your own self-doubt, it doesn't matter what it is, God is calling you to put your full trust in him. So one thing about this, just something I've been contemplating for years and I won't go into, but I believe we're often stuck in the desert following God. We're often stuck in the desert following God. And what do I mean by that? Well, how are the Israelites in the desert guided? What did they follow? Yeah, they followed the cloud, and they had the cloud and the fire, right? So I think sometimes we're stuck in the desert. We're just sitting there saying, God, okay, I'm sitting waiting. Cloud didn't move. Yeah, I know my neighbor's getting evicted, but Lord, your cloud hasn't moved. Yeah, I see that there's some of my neighbors are a drug addict. Oh, cloud hasn't moved. You know, I just had somebody at work, their spouse died, and, you know, God, are you moving me to go talk to them and make sure they're okay? No, if we look, what's the difference between the desert and the promised land? In the promised land, when they entered into the promised land, They went and took the land. They went and grew crops. They built cities. They did things. And I think we're often as Christians sitting there waiting, wandering around the desert saying, God, lead me. Oh, God, where is it? When God is saying it's right in front of you. You should already know what to do. You should love your neighbor. You should do good things. You should seek peace. You should seek justice. These things that are in the Bible, it's already there. We just need to put our trust in God that he is going to be faithful to do his part. So what is it that God is calling you to do today? What is he calling you to put your trust in? And I believe that just as I was thinking about this whole thing, entering the promised land, there's a song now, The Blessing. I've just fallen in love with it. But it says, may his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you, within you. He is with you. He is with you. So it's not just, I think often we're looking for that presence to go before us. But guess what? It's going behind us. If we go out and help our neighbor, God is there just with us. We don't have to wait, again, to go down to the cut and feed people who need food or help pick up trash. Do we really need to have some revelation from God to do that? No. Do we need to not trust that God is going to protect us? I mean, we need to use some wisdom. I don't know. I go down there at 3 a.m, but... do we need to fear that God is going to trust us or that our kindness is going to go in vain? That, if I go and help out this person, maybe, I'll do this and maybe it might not do any good. So what? The Bible still calls us to do it. Do we have trust in God that he's going to do his part if we do our part? Ruth did. Trusting fully means we need to take action. And just to get to a little bit of a positive here, it says, then Boaz asked his foreman, who is that young woman over there? Who does she belong to? And the foreman replied, she is the woman from Moab who came back with Naomi. She asked me this morning if she could gather grain behind the harvesters. She has been hard at work ever since, except for a few minutes rest. So Ruth took the action and trusted. And here's what happened. Boaz went over to Ruth and said, listen, my daughter, stay right here with us. With us. So we're not talking about gleaning back. If we look at what's going on here, the previous context was she was back behind the harvesters. Now he's saying, stay right here with us. Stay right behind the young working women working in my field, not the people gleaning. The leftovers, people working in my field, see which part of the field they are harvesting and follow them. I have warned the young men not to treat you roughly, and when you are thirsty, help you with water they have drawn from the well. Ruth fell at his feet and thanked him warmly. What have I done to deserve such kindness? I am only a foreigner. So again, if we could just skim over that and just go like, he let him glean. But I'm telling you, that's not what happened here. This was not letting him, that was gleaning, and Boaz says, come here, you can farm all that, grab all this stuff just like my other workers, and you can keep it for yourself. An amazing thing. She put her trust in God, took action, went forward, and good things happened. She did it through an ordinary person. So I just want to, to a close here, I just want to tell you, anyone know somebody who said, follow me? Jesus, yeah. He said, follow me. Jesus said, come follow me. As Jesus was here in Matthew 4, 18 through 20, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. So and then, if we continue on with verse 21 through 22, going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. When they were in a boat with their father Zebedee preparing their nets, Jesus called them and immediately left the boat and their father and followed him. He also called Matthew. He called other people. He called one person who, best we could tell, did not take the chance, the rich young ruler. There are many people Jesus called to follow, and many did. Just as we're closing here, I just want to look at Peter. Because Peter, was now following. He was now following Jesus, right? But did he fully trust him yet? Did he fully trust him? If we go on, we can look and see that there's a time when Jesus left and Peter sees Jesus doing what? Walking on the water. Sees him walking on the water. And Peter does something. He steps out in faith and starts walking on the water. He steps out in faith. And in the end, this is the key thing here, is we see that obviously he had been following Jesus. This is several chapters. I think it's chapter 18 or something. Here we are in chapter 4. So a lot of time has lapsed. And Jesus, or Peter, ends up having the revelation says, he says, "Now I know you're the Son of God." Peter had come to fully trust Jesus. So where are you on your process of following? We need to follow, and we need to follow God wherever he leads us. But where are you on the trusting part? Do you just follow like maybe it's going to work out? Or do you really trust that God has his best interest for you? Do you trust him with your finances? Do you trust him with your relationships? Not to go there, but the Bible has some clear stuff on relationships. And today it seems like society and even many in the church throw that out. Do you trust him in your relationships? Do you trust him to take care of your family? Do you run around? Maybe, again, I'm not wanting to shame anyone with maybe some mental health problems, but do you run around with anxiety and worry over things that we should be trusting in God for? Do we? The thing is that we do. I do it myself. The thing is, we put our full trust in God, and we learn to have a thing that's based on not just follow God because he's God, but follow him because follow and trust him because we know he has our best interest at heart. So as we take communion, you just come up, take communion, you come up and pray, you can be there. I'll tell you, we sort of COVID-19, we were starting to do different things, but I'll just tell you, if you need someone to pray for you and you're up here, or even if you're, let's say you don't want to come forward and pray up here, you want to be in your seat, just raise your hand, and anyone else, just go pray for them. If you need prayer, if you need someone else. But as we take communion, I just want us to think about that. What is it that God is calling us to do, and are we fully trusting in him? And I want to tell you, if you have sort of gone the wrong way, I just want to look at Deuteronomy 31:8. It says, "It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." So it doesn't matter where you've gone, he will not leave you or forsake you. You don't need to be fear. You don't need to be dismayed. No matter where you are, he has not left you. But what is he? What does he do? He goes before you. He goes before you. And we were talking about this in staff meeting. I visualize it similar to a compass, but almost like there's this, even if I've been walking this way, he's always before me, pointing me back to the right direction. So it doesn't matter where you are, what you've done, Jesus is there. God is there to point you in the right direction, to be able to put your full trust in him. Lord, I just ask that you would come and help us. Lord, I just think this full trust is hard for any of us. I just pray that you would come and help us, come and empower us today to fully trust you. Lord, I pray for those who have maybe fallen away from the path, that you would be that light, the light to their path that would guide them back on the right track. Lord, that you would come and help us to trust you in every part of our lives. Even the little things, Lord. Amen.